So this is my friend Andy. Andy is part of the leadership at Durrington Community Church. Durrington is a village in the south of the county. And I've got to know Andy through Wiltshire Dreaming, which is an initiative from Pete and Kath Atkins that I'm helping with. We're looking to draw together church leaders from across Wiltshire who are joining in what they find God doing in their communities and looking to build God's kingdom in Wiltshire. So I first met Andy in the spring of 2021, and the church were hoping to take over the building that you can see in the background behind us in the picture. A church had met in that building for over 100 years, but had recently shut down, and Durrington Community Church had been talking to the denomination for nearly 2 years about taking the building on. And in the autumn of 2021, they finally took over the building. And I have said to Andy that while the delay was frustrating, it might have been a blessing that it meant they didn't take the new building on before the pandemic started. The church really want the building to be a resource for the community and not just a place for them to meet on a Sunday morning. It's situated at the main crossroads in the village, and kids from the infant school and the secondary schools all walk past it every day. And in the summer of 2021, as things began to open up, Andy noticed that parents and kids from the infant school were stopping on the way home to play and catch up on a patch of grass across the crossroads from the church building. It wasn't the ideal place for those kids to be running around or kicking a football. So Andy suggested to the parents that they use the garden of the church building, because he had access to that at that time. And so an after-school club developed. Once a week, they took a gazebo down, they served drinks, and when they took over the building, they were able to open that up too and were able to meet through the winter and when the weather was poor. And when I visited Andy last month, I had the privilege to see the after-school club in action. That day, the infant school, the kids had gone on a trip to Salisbury Cathedral, and their coach dropped them off at the crossroads, and as they were lined up to walk back to the school, the kids were saying hello to Andy and the other helpers. 20 or 30 kids came to the after-school club. The weather was lovely, so the kids were mostly running around outside and playing football. The parents enjoyed a cup of tea and a chance to sit around chatting. The church were having a buffet lunch that Sunday, so Andy was busy inviting the parent or the families to come to the lunch. They only had to come to the lunch, they didn't have to come to the meeting before. And all of them were appreciative of the invite, and several said that they would be coming. Chatting after the club had finished, Andy said that they were planning to start a Bible club for the kids, for the children who wanted to come along. They were going to use J. John's material, which looks at spiritual questions that children have. The one on where do dinosaurs fit in sounded most interesting to me. Adrian is another person who I've met through Wiltshire Dreaming. He's around my age, he's recently been to theological college, and he's now a curate for 5 parishes south of Devizes. When travelling around his parishes, he found people saying to him, "I believe in something, but I don't do traditional religion." And he was frustrated by this, so he invited them to a discussion to find out, you know, how he could help them in their journey of faith. And out of that came a weekly meeting on a Saturday evening in a village hall. And after coffee and a catch-up and news, they debate the theme of the week. They talk about the Christian perspective on it. And then they finish with uplifting songs of prayer and quite often carry on the discussion in the pub afterwards. The last 3 of those things are optional. Issues they've discussed have been grace and, intriguingly, what Buddhists believe, which Adrian has used to point to a belief that extends beyond the self. Last night, they were discussing miracles, fairy tale or reality. And Adrian is asking, where does Quest for Faith, as they call the group, lead to, noting that it's not an 8 a.m. traditional service. And at West Wilts Arise lunch, I met John Firth, who's a church leader in Melksham. Some of us know the Firths from way back. Becky, his daughter, was part of a cell group that Sue and I ran when we were first early in our time at Dayspring. And asking John how Becky was, I felt old when he told me that she was married, and had kids the same age as Sophie and Toby. In Melksham, they're offering a course for those who are bereaved. The local doctor's surgery has been so impressed that they are actually prescribing that course for their patients struggling with bereavement. The current course is full, and there's a waiting list for the one in September. The course itself is 6 weeks long. The first 5 weeks, although the course is built on Christian perspective and principles and values, it does not push faith. But then in the 6th week, which is optional, it actually explores faith and bereavement. And so far, when running the course, they've had no one opt out of that final week. So there are 3 stories of people in different ways, hearing the promptings of the Spirit, planting and watering seeds while looking for God to give the increase. Yes, they are all church leaders, but no, they're doing things that are outside of their usual Sunday morning and church life. They're showing the love of Jesus to their communities. They're seeing what God is doing and joining in. Now, Rolf's going to tell us a story about one of his work colleagues. Do you want to grab that?
So about 5 years ago, our company started up a well-being event at work. A lot of big companies do that. And just before the pandemic broke, they for the next one, they said, oh, we really want to focus on mindfulness, interestingly enough. And does anybody have anything? And some guy came up with macrame and different things. Another guy, a young guy, an analytical scientist by the name of Jordan, you may have seen him here, decided to start up a music group. And as busy as I was, I didn't have the capacity, I thought, no, I've got to try and get involved. So I did, and it started a friendship, and also started planting a seed, because in the year that we started to prepare for the next well-being event, it's in October usually, and we started working on music. But he said, "Oh, can everybody share something?" And the only thing I'd recorded was only Jesus was a recording that I'd Jesus, All for Jesus. I'd recorded and I shared on the group and that, and it started some questions in 2021, and that was in 2020. In 2021, several of us started to pray for him here as a group, amongst other people, and during the lockdown period, he also looked at joining our choir, but didn't quite get there with that. And then came the end of 2021, I decided to invite him around. He'd been through a bit of a difficult time with his he didn't have a father's figure in his life, so I guess I filled some of that space for him, and we decided to work through some of his issues and stuff like that. So he really leaned on that. And end of 2021, I bit the bullet and decided to give him a Bible for Christmas, along with purpose-driven life and a holding cross. About a month ago, he shared this picture of music that he'd written, and interestingly, there's the holding cross, and that's not the only time he's done that. He's shared a picture of his music that he's been writing with the holding cross. He is leaving the company now and going on, so I'm not sure where we're headed with it. All I know is that, as Dave said, planting seeds, and we'll see what grows. So if you want to keep Jordan in your prayers, he has visited here once before, but keep him in your prayers, and that's
brilliant.
It.
Thank you, Rolf. So yeah, there's another case of Rolf making a friend, planting seeds, feeling prompted to give him a Bible, the purpose-driven life, a holding cross, and someone beginning to, God giving the increase and beginning to see that. So following on from the parable of the sower, which I spoke on last time, in Matthew's gospel is the parable of the wheat and tares. Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a man who sows good seed in his field. While everyone is sleeping, the enemy comes along and sows weeds amongst the wheat. The two grow together, and the owner's servants notice this and are initially perplexed, as they only the good seed was sown. The owner says, an enemy has done this. And when the servants suggest pulling up the weeds, the owner says they should wait until the harvest time, when it will be obvious which plants are wheat and which are weeds. So it's time for you to do a bit of work. We can get into some groups. The question is, what do you think the parable means and how might it apply to you today? You might want to think about who the owner is and who the enemy is, and what is the field and what is the good seed and what are the weeds and when is harvest time. So if we can sort of form some groups of, I don't know, 4 to 6, or maybe a group sort of here, and then one in the middle here, and then one over here. Give you 5-10 minutes, and then we'll see what you're thinking. Right, if we can start drawing our discussions to a close. Right, so how have we got on? We answered all the questions? No? All right, well, let's see how far we got, shall we? So this group, who do you think the owner is? Yep. Yeah, so the owner is, if you look further on in Matthew 13, you do get some hints to what the bits are, because Jesus explains it. The owner is the one who sows the good seed. It's the Son of Man, so it's Jesus. But of course, Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about him sowing, Apollos watering, and God making it grow. So for whatever reason, I believe Jesus chooses to work through us. Not only that, he delights when we, through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, grasp what he's doing and joins in. And, of course, in Ephesians it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God's prepared in advance for us to do." So I think you're right. The sowing is Jesus, but he chooses to work through us. So, boys, who was the enemy? Do you get to that one? You are right. Tell me about your tangent. I'm not sure I want to know about this though. Right. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So Alpha's the basket with the seed that you sow from. Is that? Alpha is a basket of seed that you sow from, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Excellent. Group at the back. Right. Group at the back. Did you guys get into who the enemy might be?
Yeah, Roy did.
Go on then, Roy. Pam, do you want to say what Roy said it was then?
Distractions. The enemy is the devil. Basically.
The enemy is the devil, yes.
Different methods.
Yep.
To push the weeds among the seed.
Yep. Yeah. So yes, the enemy, of course, is the devil. What else were we asking? What about what is the field?
We had a couple of interpretations of that. The field could be somebody's life, so you get good seed and bad seed sown in the field of somebody's
right.
life.
Yep.
Which makes the parable about not getting aerated, about, you know, bad things, just keep sowing the good stuff. Or it could be a community, a team, a group of people, but it's always person centred.
Yep. The scholars I read talked about it being the world and it looking at Christians in the world versus people who don't know and love Jesus. So, did anyone get on to what the good seed might be?
Didn't Christ explain that parable?
He did.
Yeah.
I haven't invented anything new, Roy. I read on a bit in the chapter and. It is. I mean, if you read further on the chapter, it actually says that the good seed is the people of the kingdom. So we are the good seed. It is us. Those who know and love Jesus. And then, of course, the weeds are those who don't. And then harvest time, anyone get that far? Or? Of course, that's... Oh, did you? Right, excellent. What was your conclusion then, Rob?
Well, the thing I brought up was that about recognising what the harvest time. We said it can be a really long time, but sometimes we don't recognise that actually it is harvest time. And
right. Yeah, I think people do say how it talks in the passage about harvest time being the end of the age, so when the angels come and people are judged from whether they're part of the kingdom or not and things. But I think you are right that there are, you know, points through life people, it's harvest time there as well. So we struggled a bit with those, but did anyone get into how it might apply today, or how they think they might apply it today?
You didn't give us time for that. Yeah.
Did I not? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Oh, well.
Give us 5 minutes now.
Anyone else?
I think we kind of touched on the thing that good seed might not necessarily be a scripture that you might say, but it's any act of kindness or that relates to the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's about sowing good seed, hearing the promptings of the Spirit, showing the love of Jesus, and what was it? Francis Assisi said, preach the gospel, but only use words when you have to. And so it's... Any other thoughts? No? Obviously, I didn't give you long enough. I'm sorry about that. So as we intentionally seek who God is putting on our heart, we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we are planting that good seed and it has the potential to grow into people of the kingdom. We are, though, in a battle. Peter, where did I get to? That's one. Peter talks about our enemy, the devil, prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. While we sleep, the devil is planting the weeds, looking for them to flourish. And so we must be prepared to walk the journey with people, be praying for them, intentionally seeking what God wants to say to them, showing the love of Jesus, being a friend, a good neighbour, a supportive work colleague, prepared as we're prompted to go the extra mile for them. You notice Rolf, when he's talking, there was this well-being group, a music group. He didn't really have the time, but he wanted to do it. He wanted to be part of it. He felt he should be part of it. And that's a prompting, going the extra mile. Missionary friends of my parents worked for 27 years with the people that they were called to before they saw any change. The missionary organisation that they worked for suggested that they should shake the dust from their feet and walk away. And yet they persisted, and after 27 years were rewarded by seeing those people become disciples of Jesus. The first white settlers those people met initially befriended them, but then one morning they got up early, they went to the communal sleeping hut, they stood in the doorway, and they shot the indigenous people as they slept. And you can see that those are seeds of discord sown by the enemy. And so it's perhaps not surprising that the missionaries, who were also white, and they arrived talking about their God, it took 27 years of showing the love of Jesus to overcome that. Closer to home, when I was at New Wine recently, I heard of someone who was working on a housing estate in a big city. The estate's community leader blanked them and refused to talk to them for 2 years. 2 years almost to the day they started talking to them. When they asked the leader and said, "What's changed? Why are you talking to us?" he said, "I am tired of people coming to this estate, talking a good game, doing something to us for 6 months, and then leaving. And so now, when anyone turns up to help, I watch and I wait for 2 years. And I see how serious they are and whether they're in it for the long haul." Again, seeds sown by the enemy. And to break through that, we need to show the love of Jesus. Those who are opposed or resistant to the Christian message, or disinterested or apathetic about it, are most likely to tell us where to go if we tell them that they're sinners and they need Jesus to save them. The only way to break down those barriers, those weeds sown by the enemy, is to show them the love of Jesus, to befriend them, to walk life with them. The Holy Spirit knows where they're at and the best way to draw them to Jesus. And if we intentionally seek God, listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, obey them, then we will see the weeds planted being replaced with that good seed. It'll be interesting to see how things develop with Rolf and his friend. They'll obviously see less of each other, and I hope their friendship will continue, but I guess that's in the balance of it, isn't it, Rolf? But I believe that Rolf has been faithful. I believe he's done the best to join in with what God's doing. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit has someone lined up to continue to walk with his friend, even if that person isn't Rolf. So last time I challenged you to ask God, "Who are you putting on my heart? How have people got on?" Anyone got any stories? No?
I have those, but I'd like to tie it into praying for people at the end.
Okay, brilliant. Well, we'll look forward to that. I said, didn't I, last time that I had found that I drifted off doing that. Since I last spoke, I've been a lot better and more intentional about asking, "Who are you putting on my heart, Lord?" But when I came to prepare this talk, I found I didn't really have any stories of my own to tell at the moment. But I am going to keep asking the question. I am going to keep listening to the promptings of the Spirit. And I will keep obeying when I think I hear them. And I hope to have the privilege of joining in with what God is doing for the glory of his kingdom. That's basically all I got, Dave. I was going to pray, but do you want to...
Well,